This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, we welcome you into hour number two right here on The Fan, Saturday afternoon in the nation's capital and beyond. Getting a little, looks a little overcast out there. I know there's supposed to be a chance of rain and maybe a thunderstorm or something throughout the rest of today. And I know we're supposed to get just, from what it looked like on the weather forecast this morning on my Weather Channel app, pretty much belted on Monday and Tuesday, which could put, by the way, that Tuesday night Nationals game in, I guess, some severe jeopardy. We'll have to see if the weather forecast turns out to be that severe or not. But it didn't look good. Did not look good for Monday and Tuesday. But, you know, one thing I would suggest, it's humid. It's just a big old kettle of disgusting soup out there. It's not hot. I don't think it's hot. One thing I would suggest is just, you know, after the show, because we want you to listen now, the Islanders and the Panthers play a little Stanley Cup playoff hockey at 4 o'clock. I think it's on NBCSN. If not on NBCSN, it's on NHL Network or whatever. Just watch that. You know, just have fun. Watch that. Stay inside, air conditioning, make yourself a cold drink. Have something good to eat, something that I can't have because, well, I'm a disaster. You know, enjoy that. Enjoy that. Like, if you can get a good greasy cheeseburger, oh, man. Or if you're Vic Ferreri, you'd probably go home and make some chicken Bolognese, you know? Chicken Bolognese. Am I saying that right, Vic?
Yeah, chicken Milanese.
Chicken Milanese.
Nice.
Is that what you're cooking tonight, Vic?
I actually have no idea what we're doing for tonight.
No?
I still have to talk with the wife what we're doing.
Oh, man. You got to prepare these things, Vic.
Good point, yeah.
You know, it takes time. Like, you know, if you're going to be, if you're going to be a expert chef, right, and if you're going to avoid going out to eat every night, right? Because going out to eat is good, but, you know, you spend a lot of money if you do it often. It's not good for you, right? You got to prepare. You got to take things out to defrost, right? Unless you're just going to, you know, I mean, if you're going to go like the, you know, well, we're going to have chicken nuggets or, you know, frozen pizza.
There's nothing wrong with a good old-fashioned TV dinner.
TV dinners? You still have TV dinners?
No, I was just joking.
I remember when those were the in things. Like, I remember as a kid growing up, right, when you'd get – do you remember the brand, like, Hungry Man, I think it was?
Yeah.
Right? And they'd have, like two pieces of, like, crispy fried chicken and, like, this little dollop of mashed potatoes. And you could see the little, like, serving of gravy through the plastic sealed container, right, and the corn. And you'd be like, oh, man, that's the – best meal ever. I don't get to have that, right? That, and this was before, you know, like KFC was everywhere and Popeyes was everywhere and Zaxby's now is starting to pop up in this area. And obviously has been big down south and Bojangles and all that, you know, like where fried chicken wasn't like readily available everywhere you turned, right? I guess Chick-fil-A, even though they don't have fried chicken on a bone, but you know, you get the point. And I remember, like, a TV dinner. It's just, wait a second. You know, mom doesn't cook fried chicken, so I can get the fried, or Salisbury steak. Do you remember that? Do you know what Salisbury steak is?
Salisbury steak was the number one seed for TV
dinners.
Yes.
And Salisbury steak was what? A hamburger, a terrible, like, hamburger that probably wasn't even real meat, just basting in a brown gravy, which the brown gravy was good. But Salisbury steak was, you know, I mean, it was fine, but it was like the cheapest probably kind of meat that you could possibly have.
Yeah, but as a kid, that's the best thing
I know.
Ever. That's all you need.
I know.
Kids.
But, you know, it was also like, I don't know how it, you know, you grew up in Maryland, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how it was for you growing up. And you grew up, what are you, 34?
Yes.
Okay. So you're 12 years younger than me. So you obviously grew up not in a completely different era, but when I was, before you were even born, Vic, you know, there wasn't a McDonald's on every intersection. There wasn't a fast food restaurant everywhere you turned. I mean, literally, I grew up on South Shore of Long Island. We had a Burger King and Roy Rogers where I worked. We had a Burger King and Roy Rogers, and that was it. McDonald's was 15 minutes away.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. So,
well, where I live, you know, I had a McDonald's and a Burger King across the street.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, the first 12, 13, 14 years of my life, mm-hmm. we didn't have what people have now, where literally, again, you could drive 5 minutes and never mind find a restaurant. You could run into, 12 different restaurants in 5 minutes in certain cities, in certain areas.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, like TV dinners and the Hungry Man, you know, whatever, and the Hungry Man XL, you know, even frozen pizza. Jeez, I remember, you know, when was it Celeste, I believe, was the brand?
Yeah.
What's the big one nowadays?
I actually like the Tombstones. Those are good.
Tombstones. When Tombstones and Celeste came out, and they would then like dress it up with, you know, sausage and pepper, like that was like, oh my goodness. Like, wow, look at what we have here. And now I'm like, wait a second. You couldn't pay me to eat that crap. I mean, not that I eat great stuff all the time. But, like, there's zero chance that I'm ever eating a TV dinner for the rest of my days, ever. You know? Whereas 30 years ago, that was like, oh, man, we get to have Salisbury steak with corn. Woohoo! Mom can't cook this.
Making me hungry right now.
I know. I had a little boneless chicken that I cooked up last night with broccoli and mushrooms for lunch. Trust me, it was fine. It was okay. It doesn't top going out to eat and getting fried chicken or...
What kind of broccoli was it? Like cheesy? Was it steamed?
It wasn't cheesy, Vic.
Oh.
I mean, when you look like me, you can't have cheesy broccoli.
I gotcha.
You know? Yeah. I mean, you gotta like... You know, the rubber's meeting the road. I've got to find a way to get back into football shape here, you know, with training camp starting. I guess it's kind of unofficially started, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got to, like, I was doing so good, and then I just went off. I mean, the train went off the tracks, and good Lord, did I just inflict some damage, right? But whenever I eat whatever I want to eat, your boy is heading in the wrong direction, because I'm not like a normal person. I can't just have, like, you know, like we all love to eat, right? I mean, I know you like to eat, Vic. Most people like to eat, right?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Well, I mean, some people like to eat like little birds, right? And they'll eat a crumb here and a crumb there. And, you know, a 2 ounce piece of meat is like, oh, you know, watch out for that 2 ounce piece of meat. We can't have 3 ounces. No. but some people are like that. Okay. But I mean, you know, like, where was I going with this? So your boy, when I go off the tracks, I'm just like, I mean, I could knock down, if you go to Harris Theater, right? Just use that as an example. They have like buckets of fried chicken, right? It's not the best fried chicken in the world. I could easily kill one of those in not one sitting, but, you know, certainly one night. I can easily kill 8 pieces of fried chicken. No, I mean, no question. Like that's not even a challenge, you know, over several hours. And that's terrible. That's got to be like 5,000 calories and 4,000 grams of fat.
But it's so good.
I know it's so good. And Salisbury steak and corn and terrible mashed potatoes in a TV dinner used to be good 25 years ago. It ain't good anymore. That was the whole moral of the story. The moral.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, what's your favorite kind of fried chicken? I love the drumstick.
Nah, thigh. Okay. There is nothing better than a thigh, because, you know, it's dark meat. It's usually meaty enough that it, you know, it's got like some good skin and some good coating, and you get that extra crispy coating on the outside, right? And it's not dry. It's not overcooked. Even if it's overcooked, it's not overcooked. Mm-hmm. If you smell what the rooster's cooking, like a breast can be really, 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 really good if it's not overcooked.
Okay.
And it's clearly got the most amount of meat on it, right? But it can't be overcooked, because white meat overcooked sucks. It stinks. It's awful.
I agree.
It's just like chewing on rubber.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have dark meat in chicken, or I guess anywhere else, it's harder to make that worse, I guess. You know, as long as it's fully cooked and it's not raw, it's, even if it's slightly overcooked, it's better than white meat being slightly overcooked. Gotcha. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've made the entire radio listening audience go to like fast food a palooza and pick up fried chicken, because all we've talked about for 12 minutes is fried chicken, fat, calories, and TV dinners.
Now I want some.
I know.
I can't extend this break 25 minutes, unfortunately.
Well, you're going to go home, and I have a sneaking suspicion you're going to whip up something. You're going to put your apron on. You're going to put your chef's hat on, Chef Vic, and you're going to – I'm just feeling that you're going to – I'm thinking like a bolognese. Not a Milanese.
Okay.
I'm thinking about a bolognese.
Okay. We'll see what we got planned.
You know what I'm saying?
I'll text you.
Okay. Yeah, send me pictures or it doesn't count. All right. We squandered that entire segment, but I guarantee you it was more entertaining than me talking about the Marlins going to strip clubs and getting everybody sick with the coronavirus. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 800-636-1067, and we'll get into the Washington football team. Do they have a championship caliber defense? One of the questions I want to ask you next on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, good to have you with us right here on a Saturday afternoon. We will get back out to the calls in just a sec. I think we got Mike and Woodbridge still hanging out. If you want to hop in and grab a vine, go right ahead and do that at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We do have the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers going at it. Midway through the third period, in Toronto, game one, best of five, Eastern Conference qualifying round. Carolina up 2-1 over King Henrik Lundqvist and the New York Rangers. So we will keep you up to date on that. Islanders Panthers coming up at 4. I think there's another game, but in Edmonton in between. I'm not sure I'm not sure who. It's the Blackhawks and Edmonton Oilers. So the Oilers are playing on their home rink. Connor McDavid, any chance you get a chance to watch him, is definitely a good thing. So the Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. The NBA regular season is back. I think all of those sports have at least a good chance of being able to be completed because of the whole bubble thing. Going back to what we talked about in hour number one, you know, again, it's hard enough in the bubble. It's almost impossible for me to think outside of the bubble. By the way, Carolina just scored. It's now 3-1 slap shot from the point that looked like it was deflected past Henrik Lundqvist. And so the Hurricanes, who, of course, upended the Capitals last year in game 7, double overtime in the first round, the Carolina Hurricanes are about 9 good minutes away from taking a 1-0 series lead in their best of 5 series. All right. But again, going back to, oh, yeah, it was deflected off a stall skate in front and right through Lundqvist's legs. Nothing he can really do about that. So going back to, you know, again, what we were talking about, I don't believe the NFL is going to make it through training camp, right? I mean, they're going to talk about, you know, acclimation period this. They can talk about, you know, no preseason games, which, you know, again, like everybody says, well, you know, no preseason games, that allows you to not take unnecessary risks. I mean, listen, in life, there's risks, right? I mean, just because you're practicing against your own teammates in a non-bubble environment, even if rookies, young guys are staying at a hotel, I mean, you're still coming in contact with other people. And if you're a dum-dum and not wearing a mask and not socially distancing and you're at the hotel bar, or you're going out to dinner in a crowded restaurant and being, again, a dum-dum, you're going to get what you deserve. Hopefully what has happened here with Major League Baseball, with the Miami Marlins, wakes some athletes up and they realize, yeah, not even forget the strip club. Not even going to the hotel bar. Now, Jerry Hairston Jr. Hairston Jr., I think, used to play here, didn't he? I think he had a cup of coffee here, if memory serves me correct. That was a long time ago. But he tweeted out, he's hearing a few Cardinals went to a casino, and that Major League Baseball players are furious because 28 other teams have worked hard to follow the guidelines. And if that's true, you know, then we're being entirely too hard on the Marlins only. That the St. Louis Cardinals also deserve to be beat up over, you know, upside the head with a 2x4 for being a bunch of dum-dums. You know, listen, people, I'm going to boil this down as simple as I can, and this is nothing political. Unfortunately, because of this virus, and because people won't wear masks, we don't have a fair chance of opening and rephasing in and slowly having our lives back because people won't wear masks. If 75% of America wore masks, I guarantee you we wouldn't be in the situation as badly as we're in. If you wear a mask all the time around people, even when you're 6 feet apart, allegedly, which you're probably not, you know, if we had this kind of cooperation instead of this political divide, then we'd be better off. We'd be safer. We'd be able to have sports. We'd be able to, you know, go out to restaurants on a regular basis. Now I'm petrified to go out to a restaurant. Petrified. Why do I want to do that? Even if it's distanced, I don't know who my waiter, waitress has been around. I have a hard enough time ordering out. I don't want anybody that, you know, besides me touching my food. I mean, I already do enough damage to my body. I don't need anybody else. You know what I'm saying? So it, like, I just don't know if we're going to get through a football training camp with 80 guys, 90, whatever the rule is. I mean, some teams are going to have 80, some teams are going to have 90, whatever it might be. You know, if we're going to get eventually 53 and they're talking about 14 on the practice squad, that's 67 players. Yeah, you know, I saw pictures of the Vikings training facility, the Lions training facility. You know, they all have plexiglass, and all these teams had their IDER plans approved by the NFL Players Association. Yeah, here's the problem. Again, they're allowed to wear these chips, or they have to wear these chips when they're at the facility and on the road, but not when they're at home. You know, when the boys want to be the boys, and maybe it doesn't happen during training camp, like right now, when teams are having extra meetings like they normally do in camp. But trust me, at some point, that goes away. You know, usually it's about halfway through the preseason, where teams start lightening up and going towards a regular season schedule where players can get out of there, you know, at 5:30, 6 o'clock. And that's late in a lot of cases. They're not there until 10 o'clock at night and have to be back at the facility at 7:30 in the morning. And they're exhausted, you know, from two practices and meetings all day. It's not right now that I necessarily worry. It's 2 weeks from now. If players become lax in their own recreation time, just like the Marlins did, just like apparently now the Cardinals have. And if you have that, you have no chance. Because again, it isn't, oh, like, let's see how many people we can kill. It's, let's see how many people we can infect so that those people can't be around other people. And because of the mass spreading ability, again, if they're around other people before they test positive, and because the test results don't come in quick enough, whether they're asymptomatic or symptomatic or whatever, you get what's happened with the Marlins, where over 60% of their players have tested positive. And it may have just been one dum-dum or two or three. We don't know. Maybe it was a group. I don't know. And I don't care. But the bottom line is don't put yourself, don't put the sport in that position. And I just fear with the NFL that we're going to get there because of the sheer volume of guys, right? We're not talking about an NBA roster. I think the Wizards had 14 guys activated for yesterday's game. 14 in a bubble. Hockey. They have, Vic, do you know how many, I think it's 30, not 30. I mean, normally it's what, 22 with the goaltenders or 21? I can't remember. I want to say it's like upper 20s in terms of hockey now, where, you know, teams are allowed to have that kind of roster size. I mean, maybe it's 28, 29, whatever it is. You know, you're not talking about 65 guys. You're not talking about 75 guys. You're talking about 80 guys, plus 20 coaches, and God knows how many staff and trainers and interns. You know, like a basketball traveling party is probably 30 per team, 35. Hockey is probably about 45. You know, with the equipment staff and coaches, 45, maybe 50. Baseball is 30 players plus, you know, all the coaches, personnel, whatever. Probably about 55, 60 maybe. Football is, I mean, even in the regular season, again, where you're going to have, assuming they keep the roster at 53, you're going to have 53, plus you have like 20 coaches, all the other personnel, and they're on airplane. You know, they're on an airplane. They're in a public hotel. Yes, they're on their own floors and stuff. But I can tell you this from now, maybe it'll be different. You know, when I used to travel with the Redskins, like the players were on floors that were secured, but they could, you know, mill around the whole entire hotel. Maybe they'll do something different now. But assuming that that hasn't changed, and even if it hasn't changed, like, is the rest of the staff, which they don't care about as much as they care about the players. Well, guess what? They better care about, you know, the athletic trainers and all of the coaches who have to be around these players. So everybody's got to be basically, again, kept in a bubble. That seems to be the only way that we can largely control this. People are going to say, well, you know, only one point this percent of Major League Baseball tests came. Okay, fine. That's great. That's good. That's good. But in order to not have the season in peril, in order to have more than one team shut down like we had this week, you have to do nothing. You can't have any fun. Life is not fun. Life is about work. Life is about being smart. Life is about doing what you have to do to take care of yourself and others. It's not about going to strip clubs, and it's not about going out to eat. So until we have that, you know, everything's going to be in jeopardy. And that's why I never felt good about the baseball season in terms of it making it through, and I certainly don't feel good about football, and nothing that has happened in the last week makes me change my mind. Again, hockey and basketball has a chance because of the strict bubbles. What's going to happen next year? Probably the same thing, unless we have, you know, a vaccine. And I know a lot of people are getting tired of this, but I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it is the absolute overwhelming storyline in sports. All these games are now coming back, but everybody is on edge. Everyone's walking around on broken glass without shoes on, because nobody exactly knows who's going to come down with what and who did what. 800-636-1067. We'll take a timeout here. I'm way past the bottom of the hour. I promise we're coming back to a couple of your calls. I guess the Reds and Tigers have been postponed, Vic says. Just seeing that. Oh, because of rain. Okay, gotcha. All right. I didn't see that little part of the note. Okay, so Reds, Tigers postponed as well. But that's because of the rain, not because, again, we don't think, because of anything related to the coronavirus. All right, back in the flash on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, some wild shenanigans going on in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I was watching the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. First, the Rangers had to kill off a penalty, which they actually scored a shorthanded goal on to make it 3-2. They had to kill off the penalty until just under a minute left. They did. And then they couldn't get control of the puck in their own zone to pull Lundqvist. Then they did that, and then the dude that had control of the puck behind the net, Lundqvist pulled, he just leaves it there, and he skates off to the bench. And one of his teammates has to, like, race and scramble back behind the net in order to get the puck. And they wasted about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 seconds, whatever it was, in order to regroup and regather. And then one of the Carolina Hurricanes did like one of those slap shot maneuvers. Vic, I don't know if you saw this, but one of the Hurricanes came up to the Rangers' empty net. So Lundqvist is not in there. And he basically, like, you know, with the Ranger, with the puck behind the Rangers' net and no Lundqvist in the net, he just skated up to the open mouth of the net and swung his stick. You know, like basically like trying to chop down a cherry tree at the guy behind the net with the puck.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, it's probably if you watch it back on video, you'd see what I'm talking about. It's all within the last like minute of this game. And now there's 1 second left in this opening round game, qualifying round, best of five. Carolina looking to take a 1-0 series lead over the blue shirts.
I think it's final
looks
now.
Like they will do that. All right, I'm a little bit behind here, so Vic is saying it is a final, as Tony Bruno used to say. It's a final, and it is a final.
What's your take on the NHL with the piped-in crowd, and you know, comparing it to Major League Baseball? Because you know, I feel like it's been good so far. You know, from highlights that I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't noticed the crowd, the piped in noise in hockey as much as I have in baseball, quite honestly, because I haven't watched as much hockey with the sound up. I mean, I did when Carolina scored, I noticed on one of the big Jumbotron scoreboards that the NHL has set up here. I noticed they like flashed a whole bunch of their fans in like a Brady Bunch type setup on the video screen, and they were all cheering and and doing all that stuff. So I guess that's okay. I mean, they're trying everything they can to recreate what it's like for these teams to be at home. If you notice, like, one of the things that's jumped out to me, I don't know if it's jumped out to anybody else, is they have all the local advertisements on the boards. Like, you know, the other day just in this game, right? You had, you know, like Rangers sponsors were on half the ice, on half the boards, and Carolina Hurricanes, same thing. The other day watching the Capitals, all the Capitals local sponsorships were aligning on the boards. That stood out to me as, okay, we realize that we are trying to make it look optically as best we can. I've noticed more the piped-in crowd noise in baseball than I have the NHL. Maybe when I watch with the sound up and not having to do a podcast or a radio show, I will be able to notice it a little bit more when I go to watch the Islanders and the Panthers coming up at 4:00. But I mean, you know, look, they've done a pretty good job, right? I mean, what can you do? You know, like everybody's like, oh, you know, like put the fake people in the crowd. I think that looks stupid at baseball games. I don't know about you guys. I think that looks dumb. I don't need to see like people with big cheesy smiles, you know, because they took a picture and they submitted a picture on a cardboard, you know, I don't need to see that. It's weird. You know, I'm fine with how the NHL has done it. With the full canvas, things rolled down, tarps, I guess they're called. Not canvas. I mean, they are canvas, usually. But they're tarps, you know, basically adorning the lower level, which is what you're going to see on TV more than anything. I don't know, Vic, do you like that, or would you rather see the fake people in the audience?
No, I like it. I in baseball, it's good with the fake people, the cardboard cutouts, when you have the center field camera, because you don't really notice it, because as you see the pitch, you just happen to, in your peripheral vision, you see it, but you don't really concentrate on it.
Mm-hmm.
And or when you see the first and third base side camera angles, you know, when they have the side shots, if you're not looking for it, it kind of just blends in, and it feels right.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, when I say it annoys, I mean, it's not a heavy annoyance. It's not anything like that. It's just like it kind of looks weird, especially like you said, when they go with the zoomed out shots from first and third base, and you see all these like the backs of these cardboard cutouts or whatever. I don't know. It's like, I would rather what the NHL has done here, and maybe what the NFL is planning on doing, which is having just these. I mean, even at Nationals Park, right? The Nationals are not doing the fake cardboard cutouts. They just have the tarps rolled down, and they have, you know, Tropical Smoothie and Harris Teeter and whoever else their corporate partnerships are. I'm cool. I'm fine with that. I mean, they can do whatever they want. I mean, these teams are not making anywhere near the amount of money that they normally would. So, you know, if they can make a little extra money offsetting some of the fan loss by getting extra sponsorship money, go ahead and do that. To me, the fake people or the fake cardboard cutout people, I don't know, it strikes me as kind of cheesy. Normally, cheesy is good, right? You want something cheesy?
on my broccoli.
On your broccoli, which is how that conversation started. Cheesy broccoli is not bad. I mean, it makes broccoli halfway decent. Which it's not. All right, so let's do this. Let me break actually on time, and I know Mitch in Jersey's been hanging on for a while. We will get to Mitch, and we'll get to actual football, because I keep holding off on asking a couple of questions that I wanted to get. But I want you to think about this. Does the Washington football team, yay team, does the Washington football team have a championship caliber defense? I'll tell you how Ron Rivera answered my question to that question when we return, and we'll get your thoughts on it. Plus, Antonio Brown suspended for 8 games. Are you in on AB? We'll tackle that as well on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, JT the Vic, do you know how valuable the Washington football team just came in ranked at?
Weren't they like number 3 before?
I think they were number 4 in the NFL. I think they were the last Forbes one. They were number 5.
Okay.
But they were at one point, they were the 4th most valuable sports team in the world.
Okay, I'm gonna say they're still in the top 10.
Nope,
they're not.
Top 10 in the NFL. Yes.
Yeah,
not top
10
overall.
Are we looking for NFL or are we looking overall?
Well, all right, so both. In the NFL. Top 10, you're right. But in the world, you have to expand it a little bit. They were 14th most valuable team in the world, according to Forbes magazine, tied with the Los Angeles Dodgers at a value of $3.4 billion. Oof. They were seventh in the NFL. Okay. The list consists of, I don't know why this is, but the list consists of 27 NFL teams. That doesn't make any sense. I got to check why there's only 20, unless that's certain teams are not cooperating. I'm not sure. But like the Cowboys, of course, you know, the world's most valuable, which they have been for the last 5 years. The Patriots, seventh overall, Giants, ninth overall, in terms of they're the only three NFL franchises in the top 10. As we were talking about the Washington Football Organization, in 2018 was the fourth most valuable team in professional football, and last year they were fifth, and now they're seventh.
That's not good. They're falling off.
I mean, it's still, you know, it's still pretty good, right? I mean, if Dan Snyder, who owns roughly 60% of the team with his mom and his sister, wanted to cash out on that ticket today and say, you know, the franchise worth was what the person agreed to pay, and that's obviously can be two different things and usually is. Well, let's just say it's $3.5 billion, right? I mean, Danny Boy is going to get, you know, based on 60% roughly, he's going to get, you know, about $1.75 billion from, I think it was an $800 million investment, I want to say, to buy the team. And I believe it was about $800 million almost 21 years ago. You know, but that's not, I mean, like, that's an absurd amount of money. That absurd when you consider, like, what's his name? The guy that owns Amazon, Bezos. Bezos is worth, I think, what, $150 billion or something absurd like that? You know, I mean, Dan's going to get a pretty penny, right? If he ever wanted to sell. But because he only owns 60%, and because he's got to split it with his mom and his sister, you know, okay, so he might get, you know, $500 million net or something like that, which is more money than you obviously ever would need and know what to do with. But it's not like Dan is sitting on this pile of cash. It's not like he's also got a lot of liquid cash either. The NFL has taken very much notice over many years. This is not just a recent thing. You know, this is a over the last, you know, eight or so years, really since 2014 is when I think I started first hearing it. They are extremely and bitterly disappointed at how the Washington Football Team organization has been run. And rightfully so. Why? Not because they don't have skeletons in the closet. They do, all of them. But because they look at Dan Snyder and the Washington organization as a potential gold mine. It's, you know, sitting on this river of cash. It's a very political driven city. Politics, very important to getting big stadiums, to getting big business done. You need influence, you need power, you need ego, you need, you know, you need to watch, you know, pat the backs of all these high-powered politicians. And the former Redskins and the current Washington Football Team organization have screwed that from here until, you know, every Sunday left on the calendar. And the NFL knows that. And they won't say that publicly, but I know for sure that many league people, owners, are miffed. You know, just like Major League Baseball is pissed off at the Marlins, and they should be, the NFL has been angry at Dan, and other owners have been angry at Dan for, again, sitting on you know, what should be a ridiculously lucrative organization. What should be 70,000+ every game. What should be easy to get a new stadium, right? With three different competing municipalities, not to mention all of the different counties and all of that inside those three different states or commonwealths or governments. And you see, again, Washington has gone from, now, when Bruce Allen took over in 2009, late 2009, I think they were worth, I'd have to double check the exact number, but I'm pretty sure they were worth $1.5 billion. So they've doubled, more than doubled. It's either 1.5 or 1.8. I can't remember exactly. I'd have to double check it. But either way, they've about doubled, if not exceeded doubling that mark in 10 years. And people say, well, see, that's a perfect example. They're just down on their luck. They'll be fine. That's not the way filthy, disgusting, absurdly rich people who have no touch with reality look at it. Number one, it's not true. And number two, when you are as filthy rich as these people are, you look at it and say, whoa, whoa, wait a second. $8.4 billion? If you had half a clue, if you weren't a total dum-dum, you'd be worth $4 billion, or you'd be worth $4.3 billion, or $4.5 billion. And if you're worth that, then I'm worth more too, because we're all partners in the same pool. If you sell, then that reestablishes the price for me. If Dan Snyder gets out, or if the minority owners get their way, and for 40% of their stake, they only get 40% of $3.4 billion, right? Just for argument's sake. That's not good for them. They say, well, wait a second. Those guys got 40% of roughly $3.5 billion. It should have been 40% of $4 billion or $4.5 billion. That's what should have happened. That's not good. I mean, it's fine, but it's not that good. So they better fix this, and obviously a pandemic is the worst way to fix it, right? I mean, because you have, you know, whatever excitement you have about Chase Young and Dwayne Haskins and Ron Rivera and Terry McLaurin and whatever, and you're going to be able to have 10,000 fans. All right. So I know I just keep going and going and going, but I wanted to bring that up. My buddy George Carmi wrote that up. I'm in the process of publishing that and putting that up on my SI site. Kind of interesting. All right, does the Washington football team, I'm so used to saying do the Redskins, does the Washington football team have a championship caliber defense? I asked Ron Rivera that earlier this week. His answer was interesting, and I think the easy answer is they could, but it's far, 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 far too early from making reckless proclamations. Your thoughts on that coming up next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.